We're exploring all the goodness of the hickory nut harvest here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, let's check in on our fall member drive underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Keely Baltina. Good morning, Keely.
Hey, Kate.
We're here to say you count on the Ideas Network for these interesting, thoughtful conversations, and we count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
Right. Listener support is the largest piece of funding that makes this show and all the others you enjoy possible, and that is why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And you know, we've been hearing from new and returning members, and that is so heartening. But right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match, up to $3,000. And this generous match is from current members, including Jean, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR. And it means that they'll match every dollar you give.
What an incredible opportunity, because it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, Wisconsin Public Radio is absolutely committed to quality, and that's why we've been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest slice of funding for WPR programs, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality that you hear every day on WPR. Make a difference right now. Double your money with your gift at WPR.org or use the number. It's 888-202-2552.
You are part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. And whether you've been listening for years or just a few months, maybe you're a first-time caller, you can become part of our community of members, people who support the programs they value.
And if you've never given before, start with a gift of $120. Or better yet, make that an ongoing gift of $10 a month. And remember, right now we've got a dollar-for-dollar match, so your money is doubled. Your contribution of any amount, that makes you a member. And because the largest piece of our funding comes from members, you really make a difference. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You could win an extra $250 to spend at the grocery store when you make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you rely on. Stock up on the healthy food you know you should eat more of, or splurge on your favorite snacks. Five winners will receive a gift card for their local grocery store. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. No contribution is necessary. Find all the details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your gift now. Here's how.
Here's how. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Baltina. It's your support during this fall member drive that is making all the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Yeah, we're just getting started to the day. And I know there are some people that tackle the hardest piece of the day first. And I really admire that. Some days you just want to do something really easy. That's giving to WPR this morning. You can check it right off your list. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Super quick. It just takes a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And let me tell you, those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Critical. Your support right now, it really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Big deal right now. Our dollar-for-dollar match is in effect. There's room for your gift, and then that'll be matched. So don't wait. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And layer on the goodness as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love. Your donation enters you in a drawing for that $250 grocery gift card. You'll have five chances to win. No contribution is necessary. See all the details at WPR.org/drawing. But better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
You know, this is the time of year on our evening walks. We hear hickory nuts falling to the ground, and we say with a laugh, watch out, incoming. They've got the leathery outer husk and a hard inner shell, and they go thwack when they hit the pavement. Two hickory species are found in Wisconsin. We'll learn the long history and uses of hickory nuts, first cultivated by Native Americans. Are you a nut forager collecting hickory nuts? What are your tips for finding fallen nuts, and how do you get to the meat of the nut? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Mike Starshack is president of the Wisconsin Hickory Association and owner of Wisconsin Hickory Syrup. Mike, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Good morning. So can you give us some history about the hickory tree in Wisconsin and the species we have here?
Well, the hickory in Wisconsin, there's been a long history of it. Most of the history, of course, is from the Native Americans, and they have a word-of-mouth history. But the earliest explorers and settlers all wrote about this nut that was such a great resource. In Wisconsin, we have two types of hickory, the shagbark, which is the edible, and the bitter nut, which is inedible. And the shagbark hickory goes about halfway up the state with the distribution, with the bitternut being about a third further up. But the bitternut still has uses. The wood is really good in bitternut for smoking meats and flavoring.
Yeah, those hickory chips when we're grilling is certainly something that we've experimented with. Why? What is it that hickory is good for its firewood qualities?
Well, it's really an interesting resource, and when I started learning it about 20 years ago, I was really shocked that we don't have more utility of it. But the wood itself burns very hot, and a cord of hickory wood produces more BTUs of heat than a ton of coal. We know that hickory wood is very resilient. In the early colonial days, it was used almost exclusively in handles, axe handles, and tools because it's shock absorbent and it torques and twists without splintering.
So what is the life cycle of hickory trees and when do they bear nuts?
Well, right now we're at the height of the harvest season. With the rains that swept through last night, we'll see some additional drop today. So if you can beat the squirrels and the chipmunks and everything else, today's a good day to get out there and start collecting.
Does a tree produce nuts annually?
The tree is called a masting tree, and it's kind of like a wild apple tree. It's every other year is a greater crop, but there are trees that do produce every year.
You know, as you mentioned, people have been feasting on hickory nuts for thousands of years. How did indigenous communities regard hickory trees, and how did they incorporate the nuts into their daily living?
Well, the earliest written record we have of hickory use in North America comes from 1539 with Hernando de Soto and the Spanish explorers when they came up through the area that's now Florida and Georgia. They had written that the hickory nut was used extensively by the tribes and traded all over the continent. They had seen these long row houses with over 1,000 baskets of hickory nuts.
Wow. And so what did they do with them?
Well, the nuts, of course, were used for a food source. It was one of the few food sources that had its own packaging. Of course, in the shell there, they could store those hickory nuts for up to 2 years in baskets and bury them underground, and they'd still stay viable. They also mashed the nuts with water to make a nut milk that was called pakohikora. Pakohikora is where we get our name hickory, of course.
And they boiled that milk and fed it to people who needed extra nourishment?
Well, it was really an important part of their culture, the whole tree, because different parts of the trees were used for different medicines and salves as well. And there's one Native American legend of the warriors after dying going to the traveling to the Happy Hunting Grounds, and Mother Nature would be there as like on a rest stop, and they would be served the Pakul Hikora or the hickory nut milk as a nourishing refreshment on their way.
Mm. So how do you crack a hickory nut?
I have a lot of people always asking me the best way to crack a hickory nut, and there is one way that's much better than any other, and that's to have someone else do it.
But you have to do it by hand.
You do. The nut, on the inside of the nut meat and the shell are intertwined in most of the hickory nuts, and so it's something that is a manual process. Really important in cracking the hickory nut is when you are harvesting the hickory nuts, you want to lay them out to dry for a week, 10 days in the sun. People usually will hang them in like a mesh bag, like an onion bag for storage. And then when it's time to crack them, and I usually let them season for a month or two because they will sweeten up a little bit more if you do that. Before you're going to crack them, you'll soak them for an hour or two, lay them out to drip dry, and then crack them. And then in that way, they don't shatter. They tend to fracture in larger pieces. And really, the treasure of a hickory nut is being able to get out maybe a whole half of a nut. Mm. And the way you do that is use a small tin snips and you snip away the shell and you'll get a much larger piece of hickory nut that way.
We have Mike Starshack with us, president of the Wisconsin Hickory Association, explaining the uses for hickory nuts in eating, shelling. What do you want to know about the history of hickory in Wisconsin? Do you have questions about how properly forage for them? Perhaps you have hickory nut recipes you can share. Join in at any point, 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead with Mike Starshack here on the Ideas Network. We are foraging for hickory nuts on the morning show and learning about their comeback in Wisconsin, the variety of ways these nuts are used. Now let's get an update on our fall member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Boltina. We're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
That's because listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for these programs that you count on, programs like The Morning Show. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And here's the cool thing. We have this dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now. It is a great time to donate because current members, including Jean, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR, is going to double every dollar you give. And it's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift at this moment at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every day, our team works hard to bring you a great morning of radio, and we see it as a service because we know that you're curious and intelligent. You're there for us. We also know that you like to have fun and enjoy all that Wisconsin has to offer.
So thank you so much for being such a great audience and contributor and for being the reason we do what we do. And you can give one more thing. It is your financial backing. Your support makes these mornings all possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you pay your bills online, whether it's because you want to save paper or it's just more convenient. Support WPR in that same streamlined way by becoming a sustainer.
You choose a monthly amount that works for you, say $10 or $20, and you set up automatic ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's easy to get started, and your support of WPR will always be current.
Fall is here, and in the Midwest, that means changing leaves, apple picking, and days that are too cold for a t-shirt but too warm for a jacket. This member drive, we have the perfect wardrobe solution, the new WPR long sleeve t-shirt. This navy shirt features the WPR and NPR logos on the front and a Wisconsin and WPR inspired design on the back. This soft cotton shirt is perfect for all your favorite fall activities. Ask for yours now when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Here's how. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation this morning in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Baltina. It is your support today, right now, of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we truly count on your gift.
At WPR, you get to choose how much you give. A contribution of any amount makes a difference. Here are some suggested amounts. Maybe it's the same amount that you already pay every month for a streaming service or cable.
Or coffee, tea, like me, which, like WPR, is probably something that you love every day. So give now. You pick the amount. Your gift makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, and we have a lot of the money left on the table. It's up to $3,000. So when you give, your dollars for WPR are matched, so give now. Do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And you can support the programs you value and ask for your Navy WPR long sleeve shirt. It has a light blue Wisconsin inspired design on a soft Navy shirt, perfect for all of your favorite fall activities. So ask for yours. Check it out with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now is so crucial. It's important. We value it and we value you. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
We're tracing the rise of hickory nuts in Wisconsin and the indigenous peoples who first discovered the bounty of hickory trees and the ability to use it for all parts of their daily lives. This State DNR Division of Forestry Hickory report from 2019 says the volume in hickory has increased steadily over the last several decades and is aging. Is there a stand of hickory trees near you? What do you notice about the trees and their nuts? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Mike Starshack leads the Wisconsin Hickory Association, stays with us. Let's bring in Owen now in Green Bay. Hi, Owen. What would you like to ask about hickory nuts?
Hi. I just joined in, and I'm not sure if you already talked about this, but I was wondering if you could just speak to the identification and then sustainable harvest and foraging of the trees. Thank you.
Thank you, Owen. Mike, go ahead. Give us, something we can see in our minds.
Well, certainly hickory trees, the shagbark hickory, as it says, has a shaggy, flaky bark. So that's one of the easiest identifiers of it. It also has emerald green leaves, and the leaves are compound leaves. There is a terminal leaf and then 2 to 3 pairs of parallel leaves below that, and that's the shagbark hickory. The bitternut has 7 to 9 pairs of much smaller leaves, very similar to a black walnut. So identifying the shagbark hickory is pretty easy. And as we go in the fall here, that emerald green foliage turns a brilliant gold colored. So very, very easy to identify. And Kate, I did want to mention, you asked me earlier about cracking the nuts. The Hickory Association does have some hickory nut cracking seminars going on, hosted by Sarah Naparella, the vice president of the association, and you can find that information on our Facebook page.
Awesome. And Owen also wanted to know about how you can identify these nuts, what they look like on the ground.
Well, the nut on the ground generally will be in a hull. It's approximately golf ball shaped, maybe a little bit larger. It'll have 4 lobes to it, so there'll be a seam on it, not like a black walnut, which generally is seamless and has a bumpy green cover. But those will have 4 lobes on it, and the lobes should separate very easily from the nut inside. And the nut would probably be approximately the size of a shooter marble, the larger marble. That's about a standard size of the hickory nut, though they can vary quite a bit. They can be much smaller than that, small marble size, up to probably double that size.
What about a sustainable harvest? How can we ensure these nuts are there for us in the future?
Well, it's certainly something that we hope in the Hickory Association people are more familiar with and desire the trees. They last 200 to 300 years. They were a staple in the Native American diet for at least 10,000 years. We know that trees are good for our environment. We know that forests are good for us as human beings psychologically. And to learn more about them and to be able then to encourage that tree growth, because we find that most of the trees in a urban and suburban area have been cut down because they're considered messy trees.
Mm-hmm.
But that's without the connection to the past. So we're hoping that through education, more people will desire this tree. It is definitely a legacy tree, lasting, again, 200 to 300 years. And the Hickory Association is also encouraging the development of a commercial food industry based on hickory, formalizing its use.
Well, you say food, and Grant wrote in to ask that they love to bake bread with nuts as an added ingredient. Do you have any resources with recipes or information for baking with hickory nuts?
Absolutely. Both the Hickory Association on their website, wihickory.org, or the Facebook page, as well as on my website, WisconsinHickorySyrup.com. We have a recipe page, and we rotate through recipes. We probably have well over 100 different recipes with hickory nuts and hickory syrup that people can utilize. In general, the nuts are great as a substitute for anything with pecans or walnuts or peanuts in the recipe.
And we have a link, Grant, to the Association's hickory nut cake recipe at WPR.org/mornings. I was checking that out, Mike. That looks delicious. It also has a little bit of coconut in it.
Yeah, and that the that hickory nut cake is the number one rural family recipe, the traditional recipe, although, again, the nuts are used freely in cookies quite a bit.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I'll get back to picking up hickory nuts.
Sounds great. Mike Starchak, president of the Wisconsin Hickory Association, owner of Wisconsin Hickory Syrup. We have a link, as I mentioned, to the association's hickory nut cake recipe. It's at WPR.org/mornings. Ahead this hour, we check in on Wisconsin K-12 schools. Is your student in the classroom or virtual? How are they doing this school year compared to last? What are you encountering with masking? Join in, 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We will get the latest developments on K-12 schools, learn how districts are navigating this fall's pandemic challenges, how your family is coping. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's focus on the forward momentum of our fall member drive. I'm here with Keely Boltina. Hi, Keely.
Good morning, Kate.
We are here to say you count on the Ideas Network for these great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so critical.
This is a really great time because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. It comes from current members, including Jean, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR. And the math is pretty simple. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 is really $200, and so on. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been hearing about Wisconsin hickory nuts and their uses, a fascinating conversation, and just how these nuts have been incorporated into our lives. Many questions surfacing from people listening in, calling in, enlivening, enriching the conversations every single day. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
And WPR is listener supported. The morning show is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Everyone should make the gift that works for them. And if and for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
I mean, maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like the other things that are important to you, and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio wakes me up every morning. Mostly I just enjoy the morning programming and the afternoon programming. I became a sustaining member because I felt so guilty with all the pledge drives. Because they're so logical and they're so persistent. It's crucial that we have people support it so we don't lose it. I'm Sarah from Wausau. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Love those words, logical and persistent. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Gilly Baltina. You know, it's listener support that is the biggest chunk, the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that is why your support during this fall member drive is so logical. So maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
That's really key. We ask that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 or more dollars a month.
And whatever the amount, it'll be matched dollar for dollar. Right now, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong. So give now, whatever amount feels right to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is in effect right now. Don't leave this money on the table. Let's go ahead and double your gift. There's room for your gift to be matched, so give now at WPR.org or use the phone, call 888-202-2552. And right now, your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And if you're not a sustainer, how about you become one right now? It's easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love.
The bottom line is your gift is powerful. It makes a big difference. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Wisconsin is home to more than 997,000 school-age kids. And as they get back into the rhythm of the new school year, we've been following the mask debates, the school boards mulling vaccine mandates, the bus driver shortage that has districts scrambling over logistics. Taking K-12 developments one at a time, hearing your stories on how the first weeks have gone. 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Maddie Fox is Wisconsin Public Radio's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee. Maddie, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
So Friday, very pivotal, marked an important day for budgets. The third Friday in September is when schools take a census of their enrollment, and that number influences funding formulas. We also heard about Kenosha. Some parents were threatening to take their kids out of school Friday. What was going on?
Sure. So I sometimes joke that the third Friday count is a holiday to educational reporters like me and to people who work in schools and nobody else. It is this day when schools count how many students are in class, and that helps influence the way that they're funded. It's a complicated formula, but basically there's a part of it is a three-year rolling average of students' enrollment. So this year's count, last year's count, and the year before's count will be used to help calculate what schools get in terms of state funding, and also how much money they can take in through a combination of school funding and state funding and property taxes. So this count is important. It's a little bit hard to draw a direct line. Like if one student's missing, that doesn't mean they're going to lose all the funding from that one student because it's an average. Mm-hmm. But so Kenosha was an interesting case, and I haven't heard much about this happening elsewhere in the state. That's not to say that it hasn't, but there were a handful of parents that were upset about the fact that Kenosha was requiring masks for all students and staff. And so they wanted to pull their kids out to sabotage that count and to basically threaten schools' funding.
Hmm.
So it doesn't seem like it was a super large number of families, but I think it is significant just because that's a really bold statement, because it's not, you know, that funding isn't just for masks, it's for everything that a school does. And so the fact that parents were willing to put their school's financial situation at risk is really striking to me.
Where are the districts on masking? How common is it for schools across the state to require masks?
The way that I usually think about it is I believe, and there's, you know, 421 school districts plus private schools in Wisconsin. So I don't have exact numbers on what share are masking, what share are mask optional, or just part of the grades are masks, and which are not requiring any at all. But my educated guess is that I would think that the majority of students in Wisconsin are in a district that's requiring masks, in part because the biggest districts, you know, Milwaukee, Madison, Kenosha, are requiring masks. But I believe the majority of districts are probably not requiring masks at this point.
Okay, well, let's take a call on masks. Beth is joining us from the Elmbrook School District in Waukesha area. Beth, hi.
Hi.
What are you experiencing?
Well, I'm actually part of a group we started of concerned parents. It's called Elmbrook Parents SOS for Safe Open Schools. And we recognize that we don't feel like there's nearly enough being done in terms of that layered risk but mitigation strategy. We saw last year that they did an incredible job. And then this year, things just got a lot more loose. And in light of what we're seeing with the spike, with the Delta variant, and with how this is impacting kids more so than we've ever seen, I've talked to dozens of healthcare provider parents in our district, and the bells are alarmed, and we're really concerned that things are just becoming so political and not being taken in the right context as to this is a here and now issue that you have to evaluate, assess, and approach on an ongoing basis. You can't just compare it to last year's situation and say, oh, no, we're good. We didn't have any transmission. It didn't impact the kids. People, you know, have spoken, and they're just sick of, you know, having the pandemic fatigue. So we're really trying to understand that bigger picture of, like, what can we do collectively to keep our kids safe and not be pawns.
Beth, have you made any inroads as a group of collective parents?
Well, we've been trying to be vocal. We did go to a school board meeting, and for us, it's not just about masks. That's just the lightning rod issue that I feel like is so divisive. We're not even talking about masks. We're talking about, let's get a more robust testing program in place. Let's make sure that we're utilizing all the tools that we have. We're trying to meet with our school district administration. We're trying to have conversations with basically anybody who will listen. And we're trying to be a bridge building community too. And again, not be divisive, because that's the thing that just really irks a lot of our parents. It's like, why does this have to be political? Let's just put the kids first and foremost and make sure they're safe. We want them to be in person. We want them to be safe.
Beth, thank you for sharing your story. Maddie, are parent groups making a difference here in this, you know, hyper-politicized issue of mask mandates?
That's a tough question. I think there's definitely a lot of parents. There's also hundreds of pediatricians and other medical professionals who work with kids signed a letter last month saying, you know, we have evidence of the mitigation resources that work and we should use them. So there's been a lot of pushing. We are, I think, seeing that move the needle in some districts that might have been a little more on the fence. But there's limits, I think, to what schools, school boards are willing to do, certainly, and to what school administrators are willing to do. The nice thing about last year for families was that there was a statewide mask mandate. And so schools really didn't have to have this battle about masks. I mean, some did in the spring when the mask mandate lifted, and there was a little bit of a, before the mask mandate went into effect, there was definitely a little bit of divisiveness in this over school boards. But for the most part, you know, most of last year, this was, it was just a known fact that there had to be masks in school. And so this year we don't have that. And it has meant that there's a lot more arguing about it. And frankly, a lot of school boards are just getting really fatigued because some of these meetings are getting incredibly nasty. We've seen a few shut down.
Spiraling out of control.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You don't have to look very far to find some pretty terrifying videos of school board meetings.
We're checking in with Maddie Fox, Wisconsin Public Radio's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee, on the state of the school year. Maddie, Milwaukee Public Schools requiring vaccines for staff. The district is allowing exemptions for religious or medical reasons. Madison schools taking steps toward a vaccine mandate. How are school boards approaching the vaccine?
I think that Madison and Milwaukee might be, and maybe a few other school districts, but I think those will really be the ones to approach a mandate for staff. I don't think that we'll see that in a widespread way across the state. It's certainly a question, and I think a lot of people will be anxious to see how it goes in Milwaukee. I know one of the concerns is that teachers will resign rather than have to comply, and we don't know if that's the case. We actually, Milwaukee doesn't have numbers on how many of their teachers are currently vaccinated, or how many specifically support a vaccine mandate, and so it's going to be interesting to see.
There's been a significant bus driver shortage and really worsened by the pandemic. What is the status of this shortage?
So there was a shortage of bus drivers even before the pandemic started. It's an interesting job. It's a tough job to hire for because it's usually part-time and it's like part-time twice a day. So you're going in the morning, you're going in the afternoon. And so they tend to attract a lot of actually retired folks because those hours make more sense. Or also they pull pretty significantly from parents because they, you know, it's great for them to have a similar schedule to their kids and they're often allowed to take their kids on the bus with them. So they don't have to worry about childcare. So those two groups have also had a tougher time in the pandemic. I mean, a lot of bus drivers, like I said, are retired. They're already in that high-risk age group. And so...
And school bus drivers, they need a commercial driver's license,
yes,
and they have to get that training to drive the school bus. I wonder if, like, slower onboarding of new drivers has been a barrier to staffing up.
Absolutely. Well, and not only do they need the commercial driver's license, but they need a number of special certifications. You know, obviously they're being trusted with a lot of kids who might not be the most quiet and sedate all the time. And so they have to have these certain certifications that show that they can not only drive the vehicle, but drive a vehicle full of kids. And they have to pass, also understandably, a lot of different background checks and screenings to make sure that they are safe drivers for these kids. So that's a lot of regulatory hurdles, and no one I've talked to thinks that that's a bad idea, but it does mean that it takes a while to onboard drivers. Some drivers either get screened out or just when confronted with all of that paperwork, and you have to recertify your license on a regular basis. And so, you know, every few years, a driver has to go back through this process. And so every few years, they're thinking, oh man, do I really want to do this again? And so especially now, I think when we're seeing a job market where so many places are hiring with hours that might make more sense for people, with pay that potentially makes more sense for people, especially school districts that have their own buses and have their own drivers rather than contracting out. They're limited by their school budget in terms of the kinds of like signing bonuses they can offer, which is something that other businesses are using to address worker shortages. So it was a problem going into the pandemic. The pandemic and the resulting economic changes have definitely made it more complicated.
Really quickly here, as we end, First Lady Jill Biden visits Milwaukee last week, learning about virtual learning. What is the state of virtual this fall?
It's definitely playing a much smaller role. I think when I talk to school officials, they're like crossing their fingers, you know, lighting candles and praying, just doing everything they can to just like hope that they will stay in person, because they do not, by and large, want to go back to that majority virtual setting. And schools did start in person this year. That said, I mean, in part because they paved the way, a lot of school districts paved the way on this last year, they are prepared for the fact that, like, if entire classes or entire grades or even just a few students have to be out to quarantine, they can keep learning through virtual means. Or
they
at least
have that template, yes, to go back.
And then a few districts also set up separate virtual options. So, like, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay have all done that. So,
well, Maddie, thank you for joining us and for your reporting.
Thank you so much for having me.
Maddie Fox, Wisconsin Public Radio's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee. Tomorrow after 7:30, we discuss the latest developments in higher ed. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Hope you stick around next hour for the next installment of our Ask a Contractor series. We're breaking out the paint cans, discussing your painting projects. And speaking of freshening up, we are in our fall member drive. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Keely Boltina. We are here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like The Morning Show. Support from people like you, it is the largest piece of the funding for WPR programs. And that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. And thank you so much if you've already given. I have to say, though, we have $1,800 left on the table.
All right. Match money on the table.
Now is the time. It's excellent because current members, including Jean, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR, will double every dollar you give for the next 5 minutes. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So do it now. Double the impact of your gift. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, in the last segment, we learned about the state of K-12 schools, how districts are grappling with the pandemic era these times. We also heard from a parent group in the Waukesha area, the Elmbrook School District, and how they are approaching masking. These are the kinds of conversations that inform, that engage, and that enlighten you, and you count on them from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener-supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Know that giving right now means that it's doubled, and make that gift.
We have a beautiful new long sleeve shirt this year. It's printed right here in Wisconsin. Navy shirt features the WPR logo on the front and a Wisconsin-inspired design on the back. Show off your WPR pride when you ask for your WPR long sleeve shirt today. Give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. I'm originally from North Carolina, and there, public radio was very much part of my life. And so about 6 years ago, I came to southeastern Wisconsin to be closer to my family. And one of the things that my daughter told me before I got here was, Mom, you're going to love WPR. And she was right.
All the credit is mine for introducing my mother to WPR. Probably one of the better things I've done for you, huh, Mom? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Make your contribution today, because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click Donate.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation when we have a match on the table. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Keely Boltina. Your support during this fall member drive, it really makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Yeah, four words, dollar, four, dollar, match. Now is the time. It's still in effect through the top of the hour. It's from current members, including Jean, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR. Simple math. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. Your gift of $100, it means $200 to support the programs that you rely on here at WPR. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We can all feel it. Our world gets more complex all the time. You rely on Wisconsin Public Radio to turn these complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language so you know how things will affect you.
Thank you so much for being part of this. Your gift right now is so important here on WPR on the morning show. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.